selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no more things, gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. I'm your host for the next hour. It is Thursday, the 6th of October. And we actually had a gorgeous day today. It was nice and warm. And so I'm just going to talk about really stupid stories here for a bit. Now, the first story, which isn't really a story, it's just some weather records, because, you know, we're going to die any day now if we don't stop using everything. Records on this date in Kincardine, that's where I live, record low was minus 1.7 degrees Celsius. So what would that be? That's about 32.0, so a little bit below 32. Call it 30 degrees Fahrenheit, way back in 1935. And we know we're suffering from global warming. So the record low in 1935 was minus 1.7 degrees Celsius. So we would suspect that it's a hell of a lot hotter now. But we look at the record high for today, which was 28.3 degrees Celsius, which is, I think, cracking close to 80 degrees, was way back in 1879. That's the record high. So obviously we're suffering from global warming. I'm so sick of this nonsense, it's ridiculous. These people that are so-called leaders need to get strung up ASAP. Now, we just signed, onto the Paris Accord here, I guess, was it last night? We'll get to that in a bit. But we'll just go to a really stupid story right here, right quick. Here's a story. It says over 100 rabbits were airlifted from Canada to the United States. That's right. 100 rabbits were airlifted from Canada to the U.S. Now you're going to tell us why. I mean, if it gets more, I don't know how it can get any more bizarre. Here's another story. Apparently, feral bunnies are taking over Vancouver Island. I thought it was East Indians when I lived out in Vancouver Island in the mid-late 70s. It was East Indians that were taking over Vancouver Island, but apparently the bunnies, the feral bunnies, are now taking over Vancouver Island. Anyways, this is a story from Sunday, October the 2nd. Over 100 abandoned rabbits have been successfully transferred from the Trans-Canada Highway in British Columbia to a bunny sanctuary in Texas, thanks to a gracious group of volunteers. It says here the hares originally belonged to British Columbia residents who lost interest in caring for their pets. The Helmkin Road overpass near the BC town of View Royal became a dumping ground for unwanted pet rabbits several years ago, where over time they proceeded to breed. The colony continued to grow, which became a distraction to drivers. Mm-hmm. People were stopping, for crying out loud, it says here. People are actually stopping to look and feed the rabbits. Janelle Irwin, a deputy director for the BC Ministry of Transportation and Infrastructure South Coast region, told Maclean's magazine, in one extreme case, we actually saw a family picnicking with the rabbits on the edge of the highway. Wow, that is some serious news. Officials have tried several times to combat the issue, including posting signs warning of a $345 fine. I guess if you stop and feed the rabbits, I don't know what picnicking with the rabbits, that fine's probably considerably higher. The province attempted to relocate the colony earlier this year, but unfortunately the drop-offs continued. The plan is now to install surveillance cameras. This is like, you ever see that movie Night of Lepus, which was an old B-movie way, way back when giant bunnies were taking things over. So, you know, maybe you should be afraid of these bunnies. We saw a series, it says, of new rabbits dropped off in June, Irwin told Maclean's. The reason we know that is because the trapper was quite familiar with the rabbits. One night, literally overnight, there were 20 more rabbits. The saga began 3 years ago, according to veterinarian Lori Gaines, who started the rescue effort. It took 2 years of planning and organizing, but the first batch of rabbits were spayed, neutered, and dewormed, which was all paid through a local fundraising initiative. A total of 47 were relocated from Victoria to Texas in May of 2015, courtesy of a local couple who drove them to the, oh man, this world's had the biscuit. Anyways, a local couple who drove them, the rabbits, to the retired rabbits sanctuary located just outside San Antonio, Texas. The trip took 4 days due to frequent stops to clean the cages. Now, I didn't know there was a retired rabbit sanctuary. I do know that there are more and more homeless people in this country. I know in the United States there's all kinds of homeless vets. There's all kinds of people who've been running out of their houses, people living in freaking tents, under bridges, and so on and so forth. But, hey, maybe you want to self-identify as a rabbit. Because if you do that, you apparently get pretty good care, and you could end up at the retired rabbit sanctuary in just outside of San Antonio, Texas. Weather's good there year-round, I understand, most of the year. Anyways, the latest shipment of 63 residents were driven across the border to Bellingham, Washington, and flown the rest of the way by another volunteer-based rescue organization called Wings of Rescue. Now, see what they say here. The latest shipment of 63 residents. Okay? They didn't call them rabbits. They called them residents. And herein lies the problem. And one of them problems is has to do with residency. Or being an inhabitant, and they seize houses now, and they seize money from people, the forfeiture seizure thing. they don't charge the people. They charge what they seize. They charge the money. They charge the house. They charge the car. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. I know that the legal system is completely fictional, but they're taking this to a new level. So they don't call them rabbits. The 63 residents were driven across the border to Bellingham. Now, what it says in our, and you might want to look that up in your own neck of the woods, our municipal act, and we all live in a municipality, regardless if you live in a city or anything else, you live in a municipality. And in our municipality, because see, rabbits, they don't migrate, eh? They don't migrate, rabbits, you know. There's not the great rabbit migration every fall here. We have the geese and, stuff like that. And the birds fly south and monarch butterflies fly south, but not rabbits. So our municipal act says that everything in the municipality that does not normally migrate, that would be the bunny rabbits, is considered to be a incorporated inhabitant. That's why they're trying to get legal rights for animals, because they have been classed basically the same as you. But then they've got you classed as an animal because they call you a human, which comes from an ape, which is fictional. Not the ape, but the human is a fictional situation. They're going to do the same thing. So these bunny rabbits have special rights. The entire project, including relocation, has cost the taxpayers $33,000. So while it says it's volunteers, the taxpayer somehow, somebody obviously got a grant or something, the relocation has cost taxpayers $33,000. So they moved out 100 bunnies down to Texas, I guess, and that cost $33,000. So that's $3,300 per bunny. Now, the last batch were flowing down. There's only 47 bunnies, but they were flowing down. So you can figure out that it probably costs a lot less to drive them down. But anyways, regardless, if you just run with the 100 bunnies and just say they were all flowing down, that's $3,300 a bunny. Now, that's got to be first class. Okay, so these bunnies have got to be belted in first class for that kind of money to fly from Bellingham from down to Texas. That's pretty nice digs for a bunny. And I'm sure they were sitting back having a good scotch and probably, sucking on a Cuban carrot. You know, because I heard them Cuban carrots are right up there with Cuban cigars. So those 100 bunnies had a pretty good trip, and now they're at the retired rabbits sanctuary. I guess they're residents now of the sanctuary because they'll be in the municipality someplace. Now it doesn't say anything about whether or not the other rabbits, they're probably family members that were left behind and they've been separated from their family members and taken down to the retirement ranch in Texas. Now, it kind of reminds me of how the state went and took the native children away from the parents and put them in the schools and taught them different stuff. So now these, I hope they assimilate. Okay, I hope the bunnies assimilate down in Texas, because I'm sure there's some obvious differences between Vancouver Island bunnies and Texas bunnies. And I hope they assimilate, because I'd hate to see, racism raise its ugly head at the bunny ranch, This is absolutely ludicrous. Anyways, it goes on. It seems large populations of feral rabbits have become a problem across the country. with the issue reported in several cities, including Calgary, Edmonton, and Canmore, Alberta. So we're being overrun with bunnies. I thought we were being overrun by Muslims and Asians and East Indians. Apparently not. That's not a problem. We're being overrun by bunnies. Now, I don't know why we didn't just set up a bunny ranch here, retired bunny. And how do you even know these bunnies are retired? Why are you sending these bunnies to a rabbit retirement sanctuary? How do you even know these rabbits are retired? I mean, it doesn't mention the age of these rabbits. Some of these rabbits might be in their prime. Maybe they just come over to say hi to the folks and they're heading back to work. Who knows? But they just picked these bunnies up, didn't ask them. I think we should sue somebody over this. The SPCA can't help because they aren't considered pets. Now, the SPCA can steal your pet. They are legislated to steal your pet. But I guess it says in the story these were abandoned pets. But the SPC says rabbits aren't considered pets. So, you know, a little mix up in the journalistic ability of the writer here. And it says the Wildlife Rehabilitation Centers can't help because they aren't native wildlife, Gaines told McLean's magazine. This is very different from rescuing a stray dog or a cat. No permits are required to do that. So these bunnies, they're quite the problem. And wildlife rehabilitation centers can't help because they aren't native wildlife. Okay, so this is brain dead, man. So that cost the taxpayers apparently $33,000. And now we have, we'll go over the RCMP, which is considered the Queen's police force. And it says here that the RCMP apologizes as part of landmark settlement of harassment suit. It says here that tens of millions of dollars will likely eventually be distributed among hundreds of women who have put forward claims of harassment, bullying, and assault. Now, these aren't any women. I don't know if they're native to the RCMP type women like we have with the bunny problem, and I don't know if they're going to send them to the retirement sanctuary, but the problem here is it says hundreds of women have put forward claims of harassment, bullying, and assault. Now, where would these claims be coming from, and what is the reason for them? Who's doing the bullying, the harassment, and assault? Who are these women? Well, it turns out these women all work for the RCMP. So let me get this. Who's bullying them? Oh, other RCMP. I thought there was laws against assault and bullying and harassment. I thought there was laws out there. If I'm bullying somebody, harassing somebody, or assaulting somebody, I'm going to get a ticket. I'm going to end up in court. But you're telling me hundreds of women have been harassed, bullied, and assaulted by members of their own force, and nobody got a ticket. How is that possible? RCMP Commissioner Bob Paulson delivered an abject apology Thursday to hundreds of current and former female officers and employees who were subjected to alleged incidents of bullying, discrimination, and harassment dating back 42 years. Paulson made the apology as he announced a $100 million settlement of two class action lawsuits stemming from the harassment allegations, some of which date back to September of 1974. To all the women, this is Paulson speaking, I stand humbly before you today and solemnly offer our sincere apology and emotional Paulson told a news conference in Ottawa. And I don't know if a tear came to his eye or what, but he's being humbled. You came to the RCMP wanting to personally contribute to your community, and we failed you. We hurt you. For that, I'm truly sorry, says Paulson. Paulson said the settlements would provide financial compensation for the women and pave the way to end potential class action lawsuits brought forward by former RCMP members Jenna Merlo and Linda Gillis Davidson. He said the government has provided a total of $100 million to cover the cost of the payouts. Well, wait a minute. So the government has provided a total of $100 million to cover the cost of the payouts, which the $100 million will be paid by the poor slugs who are subject to the government. Not the RCMP's not paying the $100 million. They sued the RCMP. And so I guess they're reaching a settlement of $100 million, but those that caused the harm that this Paulson feels so sorry about apparently is not on the hook for paying the money out. You and I are. So here we have the premier police department in the country supposedly harassing, bullying, and assaulting their own employees since 1974. And so in 2016, we get this heartfelt apology, and $100 million rolls out of the pocket of those Canadians trying to pay their hydro bills, water bills, taxes, yada, 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 keep a roof over their head, but they're not a problem. Paulson was joined at the news conference by the plaintiffs, as well as Public Safety Minister Ralph Goodale and Labor Minister Mary Ann Michuk. The impact this has had on those who have experienced this shameful conduct cannot, must not, be solely understood as an adverse workplace condition for which they must be compensated, Paulson said. For many of our women, this harassment has hurt them mentally and physically. It has destroyed the relationships and marriages, and even whole families have suffered as a result. Their very lives have been affected. Well, wait a minute. The RCMP and the other police forces in this country have harassed, bullied, and assaulted way more people than the police have bullied themselves. And to date, I don't see any compensation coming. But they're police, so I guess they must be special or something. They can't be above the law, because they're the police that are supposed to investigate and charge people when they break the law, but for 42 years, they've been breaking the law on their own employees, admittedly so. Nobody's ever been charged. But we feel bad about it, so we're going to compensate you, so the sucker is trying to make a living outside of these sanctioned groups will pay. We certainly can't pay, although we admit we're guilty. We certainly can't pay. Merlo, one of these cops that laid the suit, took the podium after Paulson was finished, calling it a great day for the RCMP and thanking the commissioner on behalf of the other female members represented in the lawsuits. Hot damn! $100 million! $100 million! Yeah! All we wanted was just a better workplace. Merlo said, for them, I'm really thankful that today finally arrived. As she left the podium, she embraced Paulson, who wiped tears from his eyes as he sat back down. Oh, Jesus. These are the guys that tasered, where is that guy from, Poland or somewhere, at the airport in Vancouver, tasered him to death. In Vancouver, they tasered an 80-some-year-old man in his hospital bed. Because he had what all old men have, is a little pen knife, you know, for cleaning out your fingernails or sharpening a pencil or, you know, a little pen knife. And tasered the snot out of him. Yeah, this is really a great day for the RCMP, I just imagine. And Paulson, who is the big RCMP guy, he was overwhelmed and had to wipe tears from his eyes as he sat back down. I love my flag. I love my country. I loved my job. I left way too early, added Dadson, or Davidson, who also extended her thanks to the commissioner as she went, 100 million! Yeah! I will continue to stand up and right the wrongs if I can, she said. We are, we were, and we will always be your greatest asset. Hundreds of former and serving female Mounties and civilian members have said they were victims of harassment, bullying, and assault dating back to when women first joined the force. The settlement likely marks the beginning of the end of a difficult episode in the force's history, one that has haunted Paulson's tenure as a commissioner. Today's announcement closes the door on a deeply troubling and unfortunate period in the history of our national police force, Goodell said. It is an encouraging moment demonstrating a deep desire on the part of all parties to move forward in a positive and constructive manner, starting immediately. And that's why we're hiring Muslims now with their hijabs, and we made them a new outfit so that they, the Muslims, can help spread Islam across the country because we care about our country and our flag. What a treasonous bunch of dogs, man. Though neither of the two class actions have been certified, the settlement agreements will be submitted to the courts, paving the way for approval. There will be a deadline for signing on to the action, which means it's too early to tell how many members might be compensated. Merlo, who proposed a class action suit, was filed in British Columbia, said she experienced many instances of sexual harassment, left her with post-traumatic stress disorder. Davis has said she endured unwanted sexual advances and repeated harassment during her 27-year career, which included a stint with the Prime Minister's protective detail. Her lawsuit was filed in Ontario Supreme Court. Now, wait a minute. You're telling me that for 27 years, you put up with unwanted sexual advances and repeated harassment for 27 years. Now, why would you do that? Why did nobody arrest anybody in 27 years for your unwanted sexual advances or repeated harassment for 27 years? So let me see now. You've retired now. So you got your pension and a cut of $100 million. Yeah. Hot damn to be an RCMP cop. The police force has streamlined the process for addressing conflict, giving supervisors more power to deal with disputes promptly, but some critics fear that has opened the door to abuses. Goodell has already asked the RCMP watchdog to revisit the board issue of bullying and harassment within the force. The Civilian Review and Complaints Commission for the RCMP is looking at whether recommendations it made 3 years ago have been implemented. No, this is all a case of getting off the hook. It was like 500 women said that they have been harassed and assaulted and whatnot. And this went on for 42 years. So we know that, we already know that the police the police. That's one thing we do know, because I spent a long time talking to all these different boards, commissions, ministries, and when it all boils down to it, the police the police. And when the police finally get caught by what they're doing to each other, instead of people being fired, people being fined and taken to court, nope. The government, in order to put this to rest, just simply cuts a check, I guess, for $100 million to be split up among the ladies, which is really quite sickening. But welcome to Canada. What else we got here? Bum, 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 bum. If you like music, I'm going to stick this in here because, well, I can. I like these guys. I mean, here's some guys that they do their own thing. They don't, they're from Hamilton, Ontario. I think I put a tune in by them before, but there's a concert they did over in, I don't know what it was, a folk festival in England or Scotland or somewhere. But these guys, it's like these bands they got. They're just kind of like friends that have been playing for years and years and years. They got basically three bands, I guess, over the years, three, four bands over the years. But they're not corporate dudes. They're much better musicians than most people. Very few people have ever heard them because they don't like the idea of this corporate crap. And they do say at the end of this particular concert, and they say it a lot, and Tom Wilson, who's basically, I won't say the lead, but the inspiration for these bands that they grew, I like what he says out here at the end of this, and I've heard him say it before. You know, we need to fix the world because it's a friggin' mess, basically. When people can't get food or housing, and we're flying rabbits first class to the rabbit retirement sanctuary, we got us a problem, a huge problem. But what he says here, it was basically what I say a lot, is that this can't be fixed, and he says this a lot, is it can't be fixed by government, it can't be fixed by the churches, and it certainly can't be fixed by the corporations. Well, that's who's enslaved us, is the churches, the corporations, and the so-called governments. They're our slave masters. Of course they can't fix it because they created it. But it is. It's up to the people. It's up to the people. And he doesn't say that in a vicious manner. It's all about, lose the evil and get back to law, which is love, and we'll be okay. These are pretty independent guys who just enjoy playing. And, I want to get a new song, intro song, and I do have a couple of people that sent me stuff, and I haven't had a chance to get back to them. I thanked them for taking the time to rough out a couple of tunes, but these are the guys, not necessarily Black and the Rodeo Kings. It could be Junk House, it could be the other band that they have. I don't care. But I like these guys' attitude. I like where they're coming from. So I'm going to stick this in here. If you like it, make a CD, play it in your CD player in your truck or whatever. And if you don't like it, don't blame me, right? I don't know what the hell kind of music you like. I just appreciate independent people. I appreciate people who can think for themselves. They could have done extremely well had they just signed on to a label. But that takes away their independence, and they're independent. So, like you said at the end, the corporation ain't going to fix it, and so therefore they try to stay away from it. Now, if somebody could explain this to me, hopefully Desert Hawk is still in here. It's like I see a picture here. It looks like a racetrack or something with a gazilla or something on the track. What the hell is that? Am I going to go look at that or what? Well, I don't get that. I'm going to click on it, I guess. No, it's... What is... what is that about? That's weird. I don't know what the hell that's about. so be it. Now, over at Lethbridge in Alberta, now I've been told about this guy a couple of times now, and he's a professor at a university in Lethbridge. And apparently he's been signaled or centered out as anti-Semitic. And they were said that they were trying to run him out of the university. And I see last night when I clicked on the Communist Broadcasting Corporation here in Canada that Lethbridge professor accused of anti-Semitism has now been suspended. Tenured professor denies responsibility for anti-Semitic post on his Facebook page. Oh, look out. Now, I'm supposed to get a hold of this guy. I haven't had time. I will try to get a hold of him. I would like to get him on the show. I watched an episode of his show today, which is called False Flag Weekly News. I have some serious questions. What's going on here, actually? And so I'm going to call him and see if I can get to talk to him and find out his side of the story, because, of course, his story is in a newspaper. I don't know how much of this is good or bad. Anyways, a professor alleged to be promoting conspiracy theories and denying the Holocaust has been suspended without pay by the University of Lethbridge. Anthony Hall is suspended pending the outcome of an internal investigation of possible violations of Human Rights Act, university officials said in a statement. The Menai Birth Canada called for Hall's termination after questions about an anti-Semitic Facebook post made on his page by a third party. The group also alleges that a professor uses his academic credentials to deny the Holocaust and promote various conspiracy theories. The university has reassigned his classes, according to a statement released Thursday. As well, any graduate students supervised by Dr. Hall have been assigned a new faculty supervisor to ensure there is no disruption to the academic program of students. Students affected by his decision have been notified of this change already. Earlier this week, Hall said there is a smear campaign against him. I'm being slandered. The University of Lethbridge is being slandered, he told CBC Radio's Calgary Eye Opener. Right now, it's on my shoulders to defend the University of Lethbridge and to defend for all the faculty in Canada the principle of academic freedom, because that responsibility has been abandoned by the administration at my university, and it's been left for me, and it's appropriate that I do so. Now, here's where it gets a little weird. Hall co-hosts a YouTube show called False Flag Weekly News, which allegedly promotes the notion of a Zionist conspiracy to foster hatred of Muslims through false flag terror events beginning with September the 11th attacks. He also runs his own news website, which I checked out, which is, happens to be in America. And he's from Canada, so I don't quite, I got some questions to ask this guy. This Benai Brith outfit wants, the Benai Brith has been an association that was in the League of Nations way back after the First World War. And they want world government, for sure. Now, Morris Strong was a member of this thing. He wants world government. He's dead now, thank you very much. Although I wish he wasn't dead, because I would like to hang the son of a bitch someday. So this is a outfit that has most definitely wants a world government. So is the guy anti-Semitic? I don't know, nor do I care. I've never understood that anti-Semitic bullshit, ever. I'm always been a firm believer. Say what you mean and mean what you say. And if you don't like it, guess what? You can walk away. See ya. I guess that was basically the real beginning of the political correctness card. But this thing about the Zionist conspiracy to foster hatreds of Muslims, it was, Israel is bad news, and all the bombings and the destruction of the Muslim countries and cities and towns was specifically designed by the Zionists and those who created the UN so that they could get their migration thing going, so they could spread Islam throughout the West. So the Zionist conspiracy to foster hatred of the Muslims. And I see the same stuff on the Jew News and that. Well, you want to separate Zionists from Jews and Jews from Zionists and this and that, the other thing. The fact of the matter remains that these Muslims aren't coming here except by plan. It's a planned invasion. I don't know if Mr. Hall gets that or I'm not reading this correctly or what, but we will try and get him on the show. I want to see how intelligent he actually thinks he is, because sometimes these professors and engineers, they blow your mind at they're not that bright sometimes. But we'll find out. Anyways, here we go. Another nonsensical thing going on here and everywhere else in the West. I don't care where you live. This piece of garbage is going on as well. Straight out of the United Nations once again. Sudbury, this is in Sudbury, Ontario, north of here. And Sudbury Conference Exploring the Guaranteed Income. A conference underway in Sudbury is looking at the idea of a basic income for all Ontarians, which proponents say would alleviate poverty and would actually improve the province's bottom line. Charles, president and CEO of the Northern Policy Institute, was clear the basic income guarantee, acronym BIG, conference leans neither right nor left. No, it doesn't. It leans straight over to the United Nations and us giving up all control of all resources, all land where we live. And it all goes into the pockets of the bankers who have created this huge false debt that can never be paid. And in return for handing over all resources on the planet, they will administer to everyone a guaranteed income, making sure that you have adequate housing, adequate education, adequate water, adequate food, adequate clothing, yaddy freaking, yaddy, yaddy, yeah. But they decide what is adequate, and now you have no nation left, which was the whole design of the United Nations and the League of Nations in the first place, was the destruction, the end of nation states. So when you got somebody in your neighborhood blathering on about this guaranteed income, you have my permission to break their nose. Okay? Because they're either too stupid, they can't smell this garbage coming, and therefore, they need their nose rearranged. Maybe if you break it, they'll be able to smell this stuff better, because it really, really stinks to high heaven. That's the beautiful thing he says about discussing basic income. He said both sides on occasion over the past 100 years or so have supported it. You've got people like Adam Smith and others who talked about it. This is how you attack poverty. How do you attack income insecurity? How do you do it in the most efficient and cost-effective way? On the right, they hate government waste. On the left, as Sitter pointed out, people tend to dislike the labels and stigmas attached to being poor. In theory, this big is not a bad idea. But as we're discovering, the devil is always in the details. Well, Jesus, yeah, there you go. The devil is always in the details. Yes, this is a satanic UN plan. So, of course, the devil is in the details. At least he brought that forward. Because this is a satanic, secular, bullshit, legal system that we live in. A fictional place that we live in. But anyways, the devil is in the details. The Northern Policy Institute is hosting the conference at the Hellenic Center to explore the issues surrounding basic income and to think about how to implement it. Well, don't have to worry about it. All you got to do is wait for the templates to show up at your local council, and your administrator will tell you how to fill it out. Your administrator, your CAO, or your city manager will teach you how to fill out the little blanks and how to pursue people in your community. Well, tell them what the hell you're up to. And you've all had lots of practice at that, haven't you? You know, how many templates from the UN have slid into your local communities over the last 20 years? Tons of them. And sustainable development. So anyways, and how to implement it. Just fill it out, and you'll be fine. Minimum wage and basic incomes are two different ideas, he pointed out, whereas minimum wage blends valuations on work and the other individual performing that labor. Basic income is more collective approach, paid for by all taxpayers. Minimum wage increases render most products more expensive, which means people will tend to buy less. A guaranteed income, on the other hand, benefits all people in society. If, as a society, we decide that every Canadian should have their basic needs met, that means they should have an income of $12,000 to $15,000. That is something collectively we pick up the tab for as taxpayers, and that has positive impacts for employers, for workers, and the economy. Now, what this is about driving down labor costs for the corporations. It is also with the guaranteed human rights out of the United Nations, that something collectively and the basic needs met, okay? And that's straight out of the United Nations. Okay, everyone has a right to adequate and they figure here in Canada, a basic income of $12,000 to $15,000 will meet your basic income or basic needs, and your basic needs will be like this: you basically need a little bit of food, you basically don't need a lot of clothes, you basically shouldn't use too much water, basically you should be not putting your heat over 58 degrees, or maybe 42, something just above freezing to death anyways, and this will meet your basic needs, collectively, of course. People got to wise up fast, man, real fast. So, while Citro admits some may grumble about handing out money that has not been earned in the traditional sense, the evidence for an income guarantee is undeniable. What we know from academic literature, globally, nationally, and provincially, is that the best way to permanently eliminate poverty is cash transfers. And that'll be on your little card, which will be loaded up each month with enough money to buy adequate water. Not what you consider adequate, what they consider adequate. And if you use it early, well, you're shit out of luck for the rest of the month. If you don't use it and you try to save it up because you got company coming next month, that card's cleared at the end of the month, whether you used it or not. So you get that amount every month on your card digitally, and you're screwed. What we know, from academic literature, this is stuff they made up. Academic literature is stuff they made up in their minds, their little fictional world, is cash transfers. He said, it means people have income security. They can get food for their family, their health goes up, and when their health goes up, their attitude towards enslavement, towards life improves. They tend to get higher education, and they get jobs. So we know this works. No, you don't know it works. You just made it up. Anyways, he goes on to say basic income could be achieved with taxation, rebates, cash transfers to families or individuals, tax allowances, wealth programs such as the Canada Child Benefit. They are all targeted towards certain income levels, so the very wealthy would not receive these incentives. Mike Moffat, one of the presenters at the conference, told attendees, we do not spend enough in this province on social assistance. You wouldn't have to spend it if you hadn't sent all our manufacturing over to the east and people had decent jobs and we built what we needed in our countries for the benefit of our people. We wouldn't need all this social assistance. He adds that that means the change that is possible with real poverty alleviation is not happening. We know our current levels of transfer aren't sufficient to deliver to use the transformational change to break the poverty cycle that we're trapped in, Sertwill said. Now, here's the problem. Where are you transferring this money from? Where are you getting this money to transfer? Okay. Canada is like $1 trillion in the hole. There's only 34 million of us. There's no way that we could ever pay back $1 trillion. It never happened in a million years. America, I don't know what you're in the hole, 17 trillion or something? I don't know, a lot. But it's not real. It's fictional. It's fictional debt. It's fictional everything. So where are you transferring this money? If you're 17 trillion in the hole or $1 trillion in the hole, it doesn't matter. You ain't got nothing to transfer nowhere. There's nothing there to transfer. The only thing that's going to get transferred is all of the resources, just like when they bankrupted before and then they made us surety for the phony debt. Now, we, our labor, cannot pay that phony debt. It's called bankruptcy again, and this time they take the actual nations, the end of nation states. Sign over all of the resources, land masses, water, fish, trees, yada, 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 to this psychotic bunch of a-holes who want us to have a guaranteed income on a little card that they consider adequate. We gotta start pushing back pretty damn quick here. It doesn't really matter anyways, because none of this stuff is reality. Nothing that they do in the legal system is real. It's all phony. Okay? Legal ain't law. The debt ain't the debt. Okay? The Fed and the central banks are all phony. They print phony money. And it's backed by nothing. But when you owe them enough, even though they didn't really give you anything. The entire world is phonily bankrupted, so they want paid. And so your government leaders, who are up to their asses in this scheme, will make these concessions, and that is, it's a global problem. Poverty is a global problem that needs a global solution. Just like the phony climate change needs to be eradicated, but it can only be done so because it's a global problem. It can only be solved at the global level, and so on and so forth. But short of a revolution, we should be able to still do this peacefully if we just get our act together and say enough is enough. Moffitt is an economist who has worked with the Mowat Center and the Lawrence National Center for Policy and Management, and who teaches business at the University of Western Ontario, believes Ontarians need a basic income of about $8,000. If they're willing to commit an extra $10 billion up and above what we're spending now, they could probably afford, at maximum, $7,000 to $8,000 per year, he said. Well, you are not at the end of the first year in this country if you're going to try and live on $7,000 to $8,000 a year. You will not be alive. Period. Let's see. Bum bum rum. To go beyond current Ontario Works checks, which average about $650 for a single person with no dependents, Moffitt said, estimates provincial government would need to spend upwards of $15 billion. They would also need to return to the rates paid out in the early 90s. With inflation, that means about $11,000 per person per year. You're still going to have not a good life. And then it goes on to say, the Ontario said, well, no, the Ontario government, which is you and I, if you live in Ontario, is in the hole more than the state of California. The state of California has more people in it than the entire country of Canada. Okay, so yeah, the Ontario government, so to speak, that doesn't have any money. In order to raise the money to fund basic income, offices, the government would need to increase taxes substantially. He also believes the federal government would need to step in and help, which means that those of you who consider yourself middle class will be paying taxes for the basic income, which means, guess what? In no time flat, you too will be on the basic income, but then there's nobody to pay for it, so therefore we hand all of the resources over to the UN and the international bankers, and they take control because, well, they're good administrators, and they will send you your little card with your little bit of money on it, of which you're going to starve to death or freeze to death or get sick to death. This has to stop. This has got to be stopped. Despite the costs, Moffitt said household benefit checks are positive and transformative and will pull 300,000 children out of poverty. Now, of course, that's an out-and-out lie. But as they take more and more and more money out of people's pockets for more taxes, carbon taxes, and raising rates, the people are forced into seeing this as a possible good solution, which it is not. And I'm going to stick this in there, too. I think we're out of time. Back on Saturday night, I guess, at 10 o'clock on Revolution Radio, and then Sunday back on Evening Dalnick. Back on Sunday here for 2 hours. And we'll see if we can't get some guests for Saturday night and Sunday. Anyways, the one name I don't see in here is Duck. And Duck was supposed to be doing Tuesday and Wednesday. He'll be out Thursday morning. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know if he got him. I don't know what happened to him.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only
okay,
for
we'll
their
back,
money. They shoot, they kill, they mass on cocaine. They
burn
the kids, no more things gone. Trees, lie, to your face, fight.
This is JJ Eagle.